Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. I'm coming to you from a walk that I'm on here in Munich. Today's going to be another special episode where all of the segments are kind of chopped together because everything is being based around the big event tonight, which, if you remember, is my concert with Jose Gonzalez at the Muffathalle. I'm really excited about this. I've been a fan of his for a long time, like over 10 years or more. Pretty sure I discovered his music in college at UNO. I had some friends who showed me, and I just got obsessed at the time. One thing I noticed that just kind of interesting, he just released a new album, and his style has kind of always consistently been the very same sound. And I thought that was interesting because, I mean, it's a beautiful sound. It's really distinctly him, and it works, obviously. But I always think about when I look at my own music and I look at projects and I look at, you know, goals I have for myself when it comes to new music. Sometimes I really want to purposefully do different things and challenge myself. I always look at Bob Dylan as a kind of inspiration because, you know, he didn't even sing the same from album to album. If you think about, like, the early stuff, like, "Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man," into, you know, Nashville Skyline, like, "Lay, lay, lay, lay," like Kermit sings. It was a completely different style and completely different person, like, each time. And I can imagine, because his songs were so indoctrined into the pop culture, that he had to play them so many times that probably he felt trapped in a way and wanted to, like, redefine what his sound is each time. And bands like Radiohead do it too. They kind of have their distinct thing, but they always sound a little different each album. And it's really cool. And it's, I think for me, that's the kind of direction I always want to take. I think, like, my album, The Deer Jump, from forever ago, from 10 years ago. God, it's almost 10 years ago now. You know, that was like this young kid with some angsty lyrics and, you know, a few really nice moments and ideas, but it's really not my favorite work at all, by far. And I know a few people who like it. It has something to it, but it's not something I would put on a pedestal by any means. And then I went into 12 Songs for 12 Friends. And this was in a time of my life where I had this, you know, this big dream with this huge band. And I wanted to make, like, big, bold, loud, inventive, like, alternative folk and rock. And the songs are so genre-dedicated in that album. Like, each song has a specific artist in mind that I'm trying to pay homage to. in a way. But it's also, it's different. It's more progressive. And then we get to Simple Swimmer, and I felt that the lack of success with 12 Songs was due to the style in which the songs were written. So when I did Simple, I really actively made the choice to do things really different. And, you know, like, no acoustic guitars and everything really crunchy and indie and snappy and radio-friendly and festival-ready. And I'm really proud of that record, but it had, you know, even less, I think, of a pool than 12 Songs for 12 Friends did. To be fair, though, I think 12 Songs has a lot more heart and just better storytelling as a whole. But Simple Swimmer is really, like, I don't know, a challenging aesthetic song-wise. Like, I am very proud of it, but it's just different. But what I mean by bringing all these up is just that when I go through each album, what I try to do is actively sound a little different than the last one, in one way or another, sonically, just a little different. But Jose Gonzalez didn't really do that. He has a couple of really perfect, like, amazing albums from back, I think, in like 2007, 2009. And now he has a new album that just came out. That's what he's touring right now, is this new album. I played a couple of songs off of it the other day, and it's the same exact sound. And part of me wonders, like, well, did he just get where he's at successfully because he saw what worked and he stuck to it? Or is he just doing what he wants? He just didn't see a need to alter his sound in any way. I'd love to ask him that question, but I wouldn't want to offend him by saying, hey, your music hasn't changed in 10 years. What's the deal? I'd have to find another way to word it. But anyway, that was just something that crossed my mind. There's actually an interesting update with 12 Songs for 12 Friends that I haven't really talked to anybody about yet. And that is, I think, like, longtime listeners will remember that a couple of years ago, when I was still working at the elementary school, there was this conversation I was having off and on with a Swedish record label owner. In fact, the very same label representative of Jose Gonzalez. I had reached out to this record label to see if they wanted to release Simple Swimmer. We were in the, like, middle to post-production stages of the album, so we had some demos we could send. I was very proud. I had a new booking agent. I wanted to get, you know, a label to back it and, like, do the real damn thing, you know? Of course, that didn't work out, but we talked, me and this guy. His name is Magnus, which, what a name, Magnus. And funny, because in German, if you say ich mag Nuss, it's like, I like nuts. I like nut. Anyway, Magnus sounds like a gun. He sold a large part of this other record label, but he still has a good chunk of this second one. Like, he's still the owner of this other one. And he, of course, has all the same contacts, and he still has bands, and he still does what he loves. And a few months ago, I reached out to him because, you know, we had built sort of a relationship together over these months of talking a couple of years ago. And although we didn't end up getting to work together, I thought, you know what? We were very nice to each other. And I think there was some interest from him, at least for a while, in picking me up. So I wrote him and said, hey, Magnus, it's been a long time. I hope you're doing well. I see that Jose is playing in Munich in October. I don't know if it makes any sense to even be asking, because normally artists like him travel with a support act from the label. But if he doesn't have anybody, I'd be very honored to get the slot. And he was like, hey, Jordan, nice to hear from you. I will forward this along to the German agency. So, you know, he put in his 2 cents to the guys who needed to know and forwarded everything along. So actually, he got me this gig because he sent off with his, you know, status, the recommendation. And it went up this ladder to a few different, you know, the touring agencies, the booking managers. And it got to the top and they said yes. And that's how I got the job. And since I got the gig, we were emailing a bit more. And very recently he wrote me, this is just like last week. He said, hey, all of this came over me recently, but how would you feel about me essentially taking over half of the ownership of 12 Songs for 12 Friends and trying to reignite it and redistribute it and sort of repurpose it and see if we can't get some better traction on it? Which, cool, okay, yes. So I asked him what he meant, and he basically said that he loves songs like James and Most Famous Surprise, which coincidentally are the 2 most personal songs on that album. and which is a good sign. And he said he wants to do a buyout. Like, basically, I self-released this album through and through. You know, I didn't use a label. I didn't have one. So the album is really me. I'm the publisher. You know, I paid for the distribution through a self-made website. You can do it yourself. You pay some money. And I'm the label. I'm everything, you know. I have 100% ownership. And he basically wants to do a buyout. Like, we will calculate the earnings of this album over a period of time, and he'll buy 50% of it from me, like 50% of the masters, and redistribute it through a distribution company that he works with based in France, who work with bands like Air and somebody else that I liked, that I recognized. Oh, like Joan Baez is on there. Kind of funny. And yeah, then he would use his contacts. He said he would put some money into marketing, like do what a record label should have done from the beginning. And he said he knows it's extremely hard, for those who don't know, to breathe life into an old album. It's virtually, I mean, I would say it's virtually impossible, but I'm willing to let him try. I don't really have to do any work. I don't lose anything. He said it's really difficult to do it, but he can promise that there will be a lot of effort on his part. Maybe he wants to get some of the songs back into some proper playlists. Maybe it'll help get me some more exposure on radio, on maybe some local networks, maybe some blogs. Yeah, I'm down for that. And maybe it could lead to more shows, which I also want to do. I'm so happy I get to perform tonight because I haven't done it in so long, and it's really a part of me, and I love it. So we'll see. I'll keep you guys updated about that. I'm basically right now just talking everything over with the team and calculating the figures and just figuring out what the next step should be. But I think I'm going to do it. Actually, I'm pretty certain I am going to do it. And I think if I were to talk to anybody that I usually talk to about these sorts of things, I think they would all say to do it. But yeah, pretty interesting. And yeah, it all leads back to tonight. And I almost couldn't play the show, believe it or not. Last week, I tested positive for COVID for the first time, finally had it. And I remember I was really, really sick. I was really nervous that I had it, but I didn't test just yet. I had tested before and was negative, but then I felt super sick after, and was really, really, like, just done for. High fever, very thick, heavy flu symptoms. I was really tired and feeling sick in my stomach and everything. And then it finally passed, and that's about the time where I was like, well, I should just test. And then I was positive. I was like, shit! I had to tell everybody, and yeah, a whole bunch of us got it at the same time, but thankfully it's all over now and I'm testing negative again, which means I can do the concert. Thank God. Imagine if I'd gone through all this, all the conversations with Magnus and everything about the record label and everything about the album and all this shit and everything, and then I can't play the day of, you know? Crazy. But I'm really excited, and I'm going to be sending a few more updates as we go along. I'm also going to make like a little video journal of today with all the steps in the process. You're going to be able to find that on my Instagram at Jordan Prince. And I'll try to remember to also share it to the Artsy Fartsy one. But I think the same people follow both channels, so you know, it doesn't matter. And I'll also share it to the TikTok channels. So if you guys have those, go ahead and stay tuned on it. But yeah, I'm going to update you later on what's going on. Okay. And yeah, stay tuned. All right. Talk to you later. All right, guys. Well, here I am backstage now here at the Mufadhalle, and I'm going to go on stage in about an hour. It's been a pretty exciting time since I've been here. I've met Jose already, and he's a very nice guy. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But yeah, so I showed up here. I took a scooter from my house and put my little merch box on there and my guitar on my back and scooted the 10 minutes over to this venue. And I love it here. It's such a big space. As far as I know now, there's, I think, more than 800 tickets sold. Maybe it's more at the door later. I'm not sure, but it's pretty exciting to play for that many people. I mean, especially when the last concert I had was in the Milla Club, which was for maybe like 70 or 80 people. So it's, you know, 10 times more, which is kind of a jump. But I met Jose. I met his team, his sound guys, and his booking people, and everyone is very kind. There's a, you know, there's one oddball in the group, but, you know, every team has to have their oddball. My oddball used to be my manager, Tony, who is a freaking psychopath who threatened to sue me and screamed at me over the phone and stuff. But anyway, so glad he's not here. And met the team and saw Jose soundcheck, and he just sounds so incredible. He's just got such a control over his sound. He's got percussive things and loops and delays and reverb, and he's got this huge screen behind him that has all these effects and plays all these projections, so it's really entertaining, and he has his own light person with him, and it's really cool, and his own sound mixer and stuff, of course. And then we watched him play, and then my friend Marcus came. He showed up, and we warmed up together backstage and got some water. And then it was time for us to sound check. And we went on stage, and the sound guy actually remembered me. He said, I've mixed you before. I said, oh, I'm so sorry that I don't remember you. Where did we do this? And he said, I mixed you at the Ampere, which is the venue next door to this, which is about a 450-person venue, or about a 400-person venue. And I opened up for this local artist named Xavier Darcy there, and he mixed that show. And I said, oh, that's so cool, man. Like, what a nice, you know, full, rounded coincidence to be mixed by the same guy who mixed me next door, because this is my first time at this venue, and you already know my sound. He's like, oh, that's great. He was really nice. He set us up. He mixed our sound. We plugged in the guitars. We sang our songs. Got everything set up nice and clean. You know, we don't need too much. Two acoustics, two mics, two stools. Just a couple of good old boys, never meaning no harm. And then we soundchecked, and then we came back to the backstage and talked about the set a bit. We went and got dinner, where I got to properly meet Jose for a while. He asked me some questions about, you know, moving to Germany and, you know, about the language. And he was really, you know, really pleasant, really professional, really kind. We have a debate going. I've never Googled it, but we have a little debate going if he has like a supermodel wife or if he married his high school sweetheart. I'm almost too curious to find out. And then I went up to the merch table to set up some of my merchandise next to his, and the girl running his merch is only 18. She's a Swedish 18-year-old, and she's still in high school, but she's so cool and so easygoing and was really helpful and really kind. And yeah, we had our food, and then now I'm back here alone. Marcus just went to go meet with his girlfriend. They're going to walk along the river and get some fresh air, and now I think I might go out into the, either get some fresh air myself or just go out into the crowd area and just see people come in and, you know, I don't know, just look at the stage, have a drink, relax a little bit. We're very warmed up. I feel very good about how we sound, but I've been told that I should try to replace the word nervous with excited because it's the same bodily reaction. So I'm very excited about playing. I'm very excited to play, and I want to try and stay cool and calm about it because it's, for me, it's a big deal. Yeah, so that's where we are now. I've come in, I've sound checked, I'm backstage, I play in an hour, and I'm really excited to tell you about how it went. So I guess that's coming up right about now. We don't.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Guys, so as you can hear, I'm finally back behind the official microphone. It's the morning after, and I feel great. A little hungover, but so happy. Getting to the venue was so exciting. I've always wanted to play it. It's a huge room. In the end, it was about 1,000 people, which is crazy. When you're standing on that stage and you look out at that many people, it's extremely overwhelming. It can be. And I was really nervous the first couple of songs. Marcus and I were both very nervous, but I think it came out pretty good. I got to meet Jose, and he was very calm and kind and relaxed and collected, very much what I imagined. And I missed a photo opportunity with him, which is kind of ironic in the end, but I guess it's okay. They had a good dinner for us. We had our own room. We warmed up a lot. I felt very ready. And yeah, we walked on stage, got a beautiful applause as we opened up and I introduced us. Started everything off with The Crooked Rail, and then played Smilin', and then a few classics like James we played, and Most Famous Surprise and Eye to Eye. A couple of newer ones like Simple Swimmer. And yeah, I mean, I think we played extremely well. It was one of those rare concerts where we had already sold merch before we finished playing, and we were the support act, so that's a good sign. My friend Mark manned the merch table, so that was really cool. And yeah, we just were given such warm applause after every song, and it's just so, after that third song, when you're really warm and you feel good again and you're confident, then man, you hit it so hard. And yeah, I was just so overwhelmed. I loved it, and I had a lot of fun. And it was like it was one of the most sold merchandise nights for me. Just pure income. Like, I think I've never sold that much stuff in one night. So definitely got some new listeners. And I would have liked maybe if Jose had, you know, come by the room or said something, but that's, you know, that's also the business. He had his own preparation to take care of, and I'm just the local support. So, you know, you understand how things go as you go along. I'm not butthurt about it or anything. He did say thank you, and he did say my name and stuff on stage, so that was cool. He played very well. It was really beautiful. He's such an incredible musician. Very nice guy. Good team. Yeah, I loved it. Thank you for everybody who came. I know it was a pretty expensive ticket. I didn't expect there to be 1,000 people there. He definitely made some good money on that one. Yeah, the sound guy, Mike, was really helpful and supportive. The whole team was really great. Thanks to Valerie from the merch table for giving us so much space and so much help and support. And Marcus, you're the best, man. I'm so glad I got to play that concert with him. He's a very great accompaniment, good vocals, amazing guitar. And it was a lot of fun. I think we played really well, and I'm really happy I got to do it. And I'm really glad that someone recorded. So my friend Kati recorded so much of these songs, so you guys can kind of hear it too a little bit. But yeah, I'm going to end it here. I'm a little tired today, but I wanted to give you a glimpse of the concert. And yeah, maybe next week I'll talk a bit more about it. But I'm just happy. I'm just really happy. It was amazing. It was everything I wanted. And now I can relax. And maybe now that I've done such a good job at this show with Jose, and I saw that the record label guy that I mentioned at the beginning, I saw that he watched all the Instagram stories with all the footage and stuff. So maybe your boy is going to get a little few more concerts like this. Wouldn't that be nice? All right. I'll keep you guys posted. Thank you for listening. Spread the word. Let's grow this artsy fartsy family. Thanks for being here. And I'll be back next week. Saints are coming through, and it's all over now, baby blue. Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von John Prinz und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.